Who can do all four characters? All right. Jesus the vine, God the Father the gardener, the disconnected branches who are what? Not Christ followers, that's right, and the connected branches who are Christ followers. Very good. Pink, that's my favorite. Pink, who likes pinks? Yeah, all right. Where are all my yellow people? Yeah. All right, we should eat Starbursts together. I'll take the pinks, you take the yellow. I like yellows too. Where's my orange people? Orange? Okay, and where's my red people? Oh, all right, all right, all right. Here's a red one. All right. What's my next question? Okay. Who can do all the whole gospel? All the words. All the words. Just the one word. One word. Right here.
God, our sins, paying everyone.
Yes, very good. Nicely done. All right. And let's see. Who can tell me what another red one? Who can tell me what pruning means? Right here. Yep. Okay, taking away the good or the bad to make it better, to make it more fruitful. Very good. Nice work. All right. Who can name... Oh, it's an orange. Where are my orange people? Not... Don't... No, no. Don't raise your hand if you weren't an orange person before. You were all of them. Orange. All right. Nolan, can you name three fruit of the Spirit? You can name them all? Okay, do it.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Woo! Yeah! Way to go. That is nice. Okay, hold on. Okay, let's see. All right, I got three. All right, so tell me one of the other fruits of the Spirit that we talked about. What? No, just one.
Humbleness,
very good. Nice work. Who can tell me another one that we talked about right here?
Is humility one of them?
Well, humility is what he just said. Okay, but you got another. Do you know the other one that we talked about? Purity. Yes. Purity. There's three more specific ones that I mentioned. Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Mercy, very good. Okay, thank you. That was nice. Thank you. It was a bad throw, my bad. Okay, now there were two more. They were greats. Greats. The great. Oh, grace. We did talk about grace, so yeah, there you go. Grace, yes. All right. So two more greats. The great something and the great something else. Great commandment, yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Last one.
Great commission.
Great commission. Very good. Very good. Give yourselves a hand. Nice job, guys. All right. All right. I'll try not to step on any of these Starbursts. All right. Well, that was a very good review of where we've been so far this week. And today, we've been talking about this idea of remaining, staying with Jesus, following after Jesus, sticking with him, staying connected. And we talked this morning about two specific ways that our passage mentioned to do that. And that was reading God's word and praying. And another way you guys might think of this, I mentioned the reading part, it's like reading a text message. It's like God is sending you a text message all the time. Are you going to check it? Are you going to check it? Because it's there for you to check out. And it's not just like silly stuff or stuff that doesn't matter. It's text messages about how to have the best life you could ever have. It's wisdom. It's how to be fruitful. It's how to know him. It's how to know yourself. It's how to find who you really are, your true identity. That's what God is texting you about. Will you read his text message to you? And then prayer, you can think about it a lot of different ways, but prayer is like, you know, if you're old school like me, emailing, you know, or maybe dialing a phone, literally. Has anyone ever dialed a phone? Okay, well, not too bad. Okay, yes, dialing a phone, right? But it could also be like you texting him or even Instagramming him, right? Snapchat, yeah, right, exactly. Tweeting, right? Or you could write him. Has anybody ever written an actual letter and put a... How many of you guys have ever licked a stamp?
It tastes awful.
It tastes awful, okay. All right. But seriously, you guys, remember I said the only wrong way to read your Bible is to not read your Bible. The only wrong way to pray is to not pray. And hopefully you guys talked some in your cabin time about different ways that you could get into God's Word and get God's Word into you, and different ways that you could pray. You can pray with other people. You can just do single word prayers. Sometimes my kids and I do alphabet prayers where we'll just say, thank you, God, for, start with A, then I do B, then they do C, and we go around until we've done the whole alphabet. You can write down, things you're thankful for. My wife started a list on our refrigerator of just a yellow notepad of things we're thankful for. What are we up to, Kayla? 1,100 or something like that. Just writing down things we're thankful for. There's all sorts of ways that we can express what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're thankful for, what we're asking for to God. And so do that. You guys, we get to talk to the God of the universe who cares and who actually responds to our prayers. It's awesome. And so those are two of the ways that we remain in Jesus. And we're going to talk about two more tonight. But before we go there, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite preachers, Francis Chan. Yeah. Yes. All right. You guys know some Franny. Don't play it yet. So you can look up Francis Chan clips on YouTube. And he's great at giving images and expressing God's word. And so check this clip out as he talks about remaining. Oh, cliffhanger. No, it's a promise. I love how he says that. I really love his sound effect where he goes, you just got to stay connected. And, you know, guys, I know that some of you have grown up, you've been blessed to grow up with Christian parents. You've grown up going to church. But maybe somewhere along the line, you got the idea that God would be more pleased with you if you worked really hard. If you got busy for him, then you could really make him proud of you and you could really make him happy. And that's what Francis Chan said is as silly as a branch being like, today I'm going to produce some fruit. Like, that is not what God wants of you. He wants to be with you. And he wants you to be with him. He made you for that. The Christian life is not supposed to be a treadmill that you never get to the end of. The Christian life is not about how much you can do for God. It's about enjoying God. It's about being with him. It's about him being with us. God wants to be your friend. He wants to be close to you. He already knows everything there is to know about you. You don't have to hide anything. In fact, you can't hide anything from him. There was this one guy who tried one time named Jonah. Ask what happened to him. He did get swallowed by a big fish. Yeah. But you guys, please hear me. That God loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. And so remaining is what he calls us to do. Because he knows that when we stay close to him, when we are connected to the vine, all that other stuff is going to take care of itself because he's going to be producing the fruit in our lives. In fact, that's the only way it works. And it's not a suggestion either. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "Remain in me." That's not like if you feel like it on a really good day on Sundays at Fort Wilderness. It's remain in me. It's a command. It's a command. Remain in me because he knows that's the only way it works. There is no other option for living the Christian life. There is no other option. There's no other way it works than to remain in Jesus. And guys, it's the best option ever. There's no better option, and there doesn't need to be any other option because Jesus paid it all. And he has all of the life we could ever want. We're going to talk for the rest of tonight about three things. Two more ways that we can stay connected to Jesus. We talked about reading his texts to us and about responding to him in all different ways, praying, expressing ourselves, talking to him. And there's two more ways I want to point out about how we can stay connected to Jesus. And then I want to talk about some important tools that God has given us as we live the Christian life. So first, those two other ways that I want to highlight about how we can stay connected to Jesus. And the first one is hanging out with God's people. That's what you guys are doing here at camp. And there's a reason why camp feels like a special place. There, maybe some of you have been to other lakes or to cabins or to a week-long getaway. But there's a reason that those aren't the same as camp. And while camp's food is great and this place is awesome, I'm telling you, it's not those things that make it so different. It's because you're hanging out with God's people. It's because you're around other people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And fruit is coming out of their lives, and it's pouring all over you. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise God for that. Because it's him doing that work. In the people here, yes, that's right. Yeah, amen. So when we hang out with God's people, you guys, something great happens. And so Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 talks about this. And maybe you didn't know this, but it is a command for us to be a part of the body of Christ, the local body of Christ, meaning the church. That is a command for Christians to be a part of a local church. That's a command. And Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, actually, I'll start in verse 23. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of Jesus' return is drawing near." So let's encourage each other. Let's think of ways to motivate each other to love and good works. And let's not neglect meeting together. Let's hang out. That's what it's saying. Hang out. Because there's a reason we're called the body of Christ. Because Jesus isn't here on earth, but he sent his Spirit to live in all those who trust in him. And so now we, together, we are the body of Christ on this earth. And so I need you, and you need me. If you're a Christian and you're not regularly going to church, there's a body missing a part. And you're missing the body. God designed us to be in community with each other, you guys. And it's great. It can be challenging, but that's part of how God wants to encourage us all to grow together. Okay? And so hang out with God's people. Another really important verse that I tell my kids all the time comes from Proverbs. Proverbs is this book of wise sayings. And here's what Proverbs 13:20 says. Walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Another translation is, he who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Who you hang out with matters. Who you hang out with will change your life. Be careful who you hang out with. Now, that doesn't mean that you should never hang out with non-Christians, okay? We are called as Christians to make disciples, to go and tell the good news about Jesus to others. But you need to make sure that you have a good group of Christian friends backing you up, praying with you, praying for you, holding you accountable. Watch your friends. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And then the fourth way that I want to point out that we can remain in Jesus, stay connected to the vine, to our life, is by following God's instructions, obedience. And this is one that I used to not think about. I'm not exactly sure when it kind of hit me, but I think maybe just as I got older, I realized that following Jesus makes me want to follow Jesus more. Because I see that his commands for me are actually good. When I obey, it's kind of like I'm doing this experiment all the time. Because we all tend to have this doubt, like, well, I think I probably know a better way. Right? Like, I'm probably smarter than God. And so then it's like I can go God's way or my way. So I'm going to do an experiment. I'll go God's way. And like, oh, wow, that worked out. That was way better than my way would have been, right? And then I get to the next one, and it's like, God's way or my way? My way. Oh, boy, that did not go well, right? And then I come to the next one, God's way or my way? God's way. Wow, that was really hard. But I know it was better than what my way would have been, and I learned so much. And like, so obedience actually produces more obedience because we see it works. We see that God's promises are true. We see that we can really trust this word that he gave us. And so obedience, following God's instructions, is the fourth way to stay connected. So read his texts. Talk to him in all kinds of ways, all throughout the day. Hang out with his people and obey him. Follow his instructions. He knows what he's talking about. As Francis Chan said, it's simple, right? Are those four things really, really complicated and hard to understand? No, it's pretty simple, but they're not easy. They're simple to understand, but they're hard to do. And so tonight in your small groups, that's one of the things you're going to be talking about why is it hard? Why is it hard to do these things? What are the obstacles that get in our way, and how can we overcome those obstacles? But I want to I want to read one more passage that kind of, I think, ties this all together nicely. And it's Psalm chapter 1. Somebody pointed this out to me the other day, that it's really similar to our passage in John 15. And so I want to read Psalm 1 for you. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Watch your friends. Or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they, that's the people who have all these joys, they delight in the law of the Lord, His word, meditating on it day and night. It's always on their mind. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Did you hear some of those themes that we've been talking about this week in Psalm chapter 1? All right, last thing for tonight. Last thing for tonight. I want to give you guys some awesome, actually, I'm not going to give you guys, I'm just going to tell you guys about these awesome tools that God has given you if you are a Christian. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And it is the full armor of God. The full armor of God that He suits us up for. Because He knows that this life is a war zone. It's a battle. We have real enemies. Our sin that wants to lead us astray. Satan and the forces of evil that want to tempt us to stray away from God. And this world system that kind of churns out evil and tempts us. And so our own flesh, our own sinful nature, Satan and the forces of evil and the world are arrayed against us, but God is with us. And greater is He who is in us, the Holy Spirit who abides in all those who trust in Jesus. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. That's Satan. And then God gives us this armor. And so Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, and Paul is writing to a church to encourage them. And he says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Not your mighty power, His mighty power. Stay connected so you have the power of the vine coming through you. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, because we're in this war, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. And then he says, stand your ground. Did you guys hear that word stand about three or four times there in just a few verses? So here's the deal. Christ has already won the victory for us. We're not going and conquering new ground in Jesus' name. God is the ruler of this world, of our lives, and of the entire universe. And Jesus has already won the war. We're still experiencing the battles, but all we need to do is stand in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. Is that great news? Yes, it is. That is awesome news. You don't have to go out there and defeat the enemies. Jesus already defeated them for you. This is, goes along so perfectly with remain in the vine. Just stay here. You don't have to go out there. Jesus already defeated our enemies. And so we just stand. We just stay. We just remain. We just stick with Jesus. And he creates fruit that spills out onto the people he's put in our lives. So just stand. And then he gives us these pieces of armor. Listen to this. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Now, that first piece might be like, I mean, maybe some of you guys really love your belts. I'm just like a basic belt. I think I have like two belts, all right? And I almost always wear this one, okay? But for a Roman soldier, the belt was the foundation of their armor. All the other pieces either hung by it or attached to it, and this was the foundation of their whole suit of armor, the belt. And what is the belt of? It's the belt of truth. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Truth is the foundation that we can build our lives on. The truth about who we are, the truth about who God is, the truth about the good news of the gospel, the only way we can have a relationship with God, by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Truth is the foundation of our armor. And we need to put on truth. We need to keep reminding ourselves of the truth, okay? And that's why we need to stay in this word. So put on the belt of truth, and then I like this one, the body armor. That's covering your vital organs here. The body armor of God's righteousness, right? So it's not you having to go do a whole bunch of good deeds. Like in the video, heap up your good deeds. No. Put on the body armor of God's righteousness. And you know what? What does body armor protect?
Chest.
Your chest, which has your heart and some other very important organs, right? But your heart. You know what our enemy likes to attack? Our heart. He likes to accuse us and say, you're not righteous enough. You haven't done enough. Why would God be happy with you? You did that bad thing the other day. He likes to accuse us. In fact, the Bible describes Satan as the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of Christians. He wants to accuse us. And so the body armor of God's righteousness is our defense. And we could say, you know what? You're right, Satan. I did screw up. But God is perfect, and I have his righteousness, so get lost. We have the body armor of God's righteousness that Jesus purchased for us. All right, now let's look at our next piece. So we've got the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness, and then for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Okay, now here's where this passage gets a little confusing sometimes, because we think of, oh, it's the good news, so I got to be ready to share my faith with everyone. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But in this passage, it's talking about us putting on our individual armor. I can't put your armor on for you. You can't put my armor on for me. So this is about us preaching the gospel to ourselves. That's right. And you know what? These shoes that Roman soldiers would wear were really cool. They were like sandals. You guys have some of these cool, like, tie-on sandals. Who's got some of those? I don't have good ones. Yeah, like those. Yeah, those are awesome. Yeah, that's exactly what it was like, okay? But they'd tie them like up to kind of like mid-shin, and then they also had spikes on the bottom. They were cleated sandals. How cool is that? And you know why? It was so that they could stand their ground when they were fighting, so they could hold a defensive position. Cleated sandals, so that we can stand firm. And those cleated sandals are the readiness of the good news. Guys, we want to be always ready with the gospel, ready for others, but ready to preach it to ourselves, to say, it's not about me, it's about God. I was made to be with him. And yes, my sin separates, so I want to run from sin. I want to confess sin. I want to repent of sin. But Jesus paid the price for my sin. And I know he loves me and he's with me. We got to preach the gospel to ourselves. And then this next one, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. The shield of faith. And again, those arrows are those accusations or those temptations that Satan wants to put in our way when we're weak, when we're struggling. He wants to lob them in like a flaming arrow. And the Romans had these big shields that they could advance with. And in fact, they sometimes would have like leather. They'd be wooden shields, but they'd have like leather sewn on the outside. And they'd soak the leather in water so that when the arrows hit them, they just fizzle out. And so that's the shield we're talking about. And what's cool is, too, have any of you guys ever seen the movie Gladiator?
Yeah,
where they put their shields all together and they can actually help protect each other and watch out for each other. Okay, we can do that too. We can link arms with other soldiers and we can protect each other from those flaming arrows. We can say, you know, sometimes I need somebody in my life to be like, Luke, that is a lie. That is a lie straight from hell and you need to send it back there. You know what I mean? Sometimes Satan is so sneaky that we start believing those lies. And so we need someone else to tell us, no, that's not what God says. And so the shield of faith. And then put on salvation as your helmet. A helmet protects your mind. It protects your mind. And our minds need protection. And so put on the helmet of salvation, knowing that Christ paid the price for your sin, and that by grace, through faith in Jesus alone, you are saved. You are his child. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are dearly beloved. And then the last one, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there were different kinds of sword, but in the Roman soldier's armor, this was not the like long sword, you know? It wasn't the big long sword for offense. It was a short sword for defense, for fighting at close quarters. Now, why would we need the Word of God to fight at close quarters? Because that's right where Satan wants to attack. He wants to get into our lives. He wants to get into our closest relationships. He wants to get into our minds. He wants to lie to us. He wants to deceive us, to make us think that God is holding out on us, that God's way is not the best. And so we need the Word to fend off those attacks. But guys, how sharp is your sword? Do you know this Word? If you're not reading the Word, how can you know it so that you can fend off lies with the truth? So that's why we got to be in this Word. Know your sword. When you watch someone who's an expert swordsman, or really an expert at anything, it's because they've practiced. It's because they've put the hours in. And so, work with your sword. Sharpen this thing. That's the armor of God that he has given us so that we can stand firm, so that we can remain connected to Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for blessing us with a full suit of armor. Thank you so much for the gospel. God, I just thank you that it's really not complicated. It's simple. We have to remain in you because you are the vine, Jesus, and we are the branches, and life only comes from you. Thank you that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. We're not lacking anything. So help us to use what you've given us. Help us to read your text message, God. Help us to talk to you all the time, to make you a part of our day, to invite you in, to realize that you're there with us all the time. God, help us to hang out with your people. Thank you so much for giving us this week to get to hang out with your people here at Fort Wilderness. What a joy. And God, I pray that you'd help us to obey so that we would see that obedience is really the best way, and then we'd want to obey again and see it's the best way again. And so help us obey and help us to preach the gospel constantly to ourselves, to put on the full armor that you have equipped every single follower of yours with, Jesus. So thank you. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.